Greetings and salutations, and welcome to Musing on a Road to Adepticon at War.
Yeah, that's close enough.
We'll work with it.
Combo episode.
It's what you might say, musing. What you might call musing and amusing.
I really hate that tagline. Can we change the tagline?
No.
All right.
I think we should. Well, that's not really our tagline, but I think you should change your tagline. I agree with John.
Hey, what would you like the tagline to be, Will?
He likes it.
I don't know.
Let him do it.
You have a better suggestion?
No.
Boring.
Okay. Suggestion.
Boring and lame.
Critics.
Maybe.
So here we are in Chicago.
Critics is the fun faction.
We're in Chicago. It is now 12:26 on the third draft of this combo episode.
Third time.
Third time's a charm, everyone, right? So this is Fat Asian, and I play Protectorate of Menoth.
Oh, we're doing that?
No,
you're just Fat Asian.
I'm Fat Asian. I don't play Protectorate of Menoth.
All right, I'm Eric. I play Crix. None of y'all know me yet.
Right, this is the first time you've been on the podcast, right?
It is, in fact. I am in the Houston crew. I know a bunch of the Houston guys, so I guess I'm technically part of Road to War.
He's the big tall Texan that always looks mad when he's playing. That's how I just...
Yeah. That's pretty much true.
Yeah, so you'll know him. He looks angry. He's really not. He's a really friendly guy. It's much to my surprise.
Or you could more charitably describe me as the owner of a magnificent mustache.
It's all right. It's all right.
It's all right.
It's not as good as Seth.
Next.
Next is Jeremy.
I'm Jeremy. I'm a Protectorate player. I've only been on one Road to War. I'm part of the Texas guys.
And I'm Will.
Billy here.
That's about it.
Billy Keith. Here.
And Keith.
Now, and Eric, why do you sound like an easy listening DJ whenever you're on? Like, this is not your normal voice.
That is a loaded question, and fuck you.
I think this is probably going to be a little bit explicit. So, if your kids listen to this podcast, this is I guess this isn't really our podcast. This is going on the Road to War today, Road to War Day. So,
well, the problem is if you record a podcast after we've been up for, I can't even count anymore. Too many hours playing War Machine, and the last 3 hours drinking, you may get a swear word. I will endeavor to refrain.
So here we are in Chicago. It's Adepticon.
And
how did everybody do? 1 to 10, Keith. How'd you like it?
So far so good. I didn't make it up for the hardcore the first day. Work issues. So
side story: this guy hops in a car at 6:30, drives from Iowa to Chicago.
Yep, made it here at 11 or 12:30.
Woke me up. Just saying.
Nice.
I told you I was going to be 1 o'clock, and we made it there a half an hour early.
Yeah, I was...
I feel like I did okay.
You so did.
We should probably start on day one before I got here, the hardcore day. How'd that generally go for everyone involved?
Ooh, can I start?
Carry on.
I didn't play, but I did open my first sweatshop, and I got like 40 points of Menoth stuff painted.
That was impressive, and yeah. I kind of hate you for it.
Yeah, I walked by, and suddenly there's four people painting around John at a table. I'm like, John, what's going on here? He's like, oh, this is all my stuff. Everyone's painting. They're so nice. Guys, I really appreciate it. Oh, you guys, big time.
And not crappy painters either, like good ones.
No, yeah. Pretty legit painters. And I think people just felt sorry for me because I have no artistic talent. So
I did, in fact, notice that a lot of the privateer press staff was painting for you at that table. Were you bribing them with your Swedish fish?
Nope, they just like me.
God, I love Swedish fish.
Swedish?
Never mind.
Does anyone have some?
No, I bought like 2 pounds of Swedish fish and they disappeared.
Let's not even get Eric started on Swedish fish. He's over there
Swedish
ready to
fish
go.
Are absolutely
I was specifically refraining from talking about Swedish fish.
So hardcore. So, hardcore, right. In the finals, it was Jake and Eric here. Eric, how'd that go?
It was really going well.
Wait a minute. Did I hear the word was?
Yeah. So the new hardcore format is 37 minutes aside, death clock. So I was bet before the tournament that I could not play Terminus in 37 minutes.
That was from me.
I decided to make that challenge. Turned out that actually works really well. So when I was playing Jake, he would destroy most of my army, but in the process had left himself about a minute and a half. So I decided all I have to do is run from his beasts, which I did.
Directly out of the kill box.
Yeah, out of the kill box, which as a Terminus player, you never really think about the kill box because you're so centrally located. Should have. I didn't.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Though there was a couple of things very interesting about the game. Jake and I talked afterwards when we went to dinner. He noted that he had me chillered, so I could not have run out of the kill box. Icy gripped. So I could not have run out of the kill box at all because I could not have run.
Neither player nor the judge got
so,
that.
Yeah.
So you cheated to lose?
Yeah.
I've heard of cheating to win, but this is new to me.
It's pretty much the worst feeling ever.
He just completely gave up the game in a way that only I have done before him.
I think there's another name that we might associate with.
Chili Winnersing it.
He chilied it.
If you walk out of the kill box, you chilied it.
Yeah, we're going to have to go with that.
Don't forget, Jake only had like 70 seconds left on his clock.
He was 53.
He was done.
Yeah, Terminus had 10 boxes. He was armor 24. He wasn't going to get melee attacked on the next turn. There really was no way for Jake to win it except for me giving him the game. So I decided I just better do that.
I don't think you decided.
Oh,
I'm just going to call you out on that right now. I'm pretty sure you didn't decide to go out of the kill box.
I mean, it was an interesting game. There was a lot of back and forth, and there was a lot of rules questions. And luckily, we had DC judging there, so that was fairly definitive. At one point, my clock was running on Jake's turn. Jake very gentlemanly offered to run a few minutes off the clock. DC told him he didn't have to do it. So in the end, that may or may not have made the difference. But
I think he told him not to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want him to do it, but Jake is, despite the fact that he has made a deal with the devil for luck, is one of the nicest guys in the War Machine scene, and always offers, to do this the nicest thing.
Oh, yeah,
so
he plays
just because he's tired of beating our asses.
So, out of curiosity, you guys all played in the hardcore?
Yep.
And I think the most interesting thing about the hardcore here was it's the first Death Clock hardcore that I've heard of?
Yes.
What'd you guys think of that format?
I didn't like it as much.
It was all right.
I really missed just 7 minutes. If no one dies, you tie, you both lose. But
I do definitely miss Mark I Hardcore as well.
This seems even a step further away from Mark I Hardcore.
Kind of.
Yeah.
It allows you to play the clock even more. Well, it kind of allows you to play the clock with armies that activate quickly and have lots of models that your opponents just have to chew through, like Terminus or the E-Magnus list that I was playing with 22 Sword Knights. Kind of the same idea.
As someone who exploited that specific list, I went to Gen Con and played the last hardcore iteration. I really didn't like it because it was all these brick armies that just walked into the scenario point and said, you're not going to kill enough of me to matter. So I thought Death Clock might fix it. It doesn't. But
it actually makes it worse.
It might make it worse, but I'm glad that they're trying to tweak it because it doesn't feel hardcore. It feels faster steamroller.
Last time I played hardcore, it was just dirtling around for kill points until dice down.
Yeah, exactly. That was the previous incarnation before
the Death Clock. Just points in the kill box.
Right.
I kind of feel like Death Clock's going to escalate to people like not activating their shit. Like, they're just going to be like, run, go.
That actually came up in a game I was watching today. And the official ruling from Hacksaw is you have to make meaningful activations with every model. But the question was, what is a meaningful activation? What if what you want to do with the model is, I want to stand right here with this model. He doesn't do anything. Is that a meaningful activation?
It is by Hacksaw's definition.
Yes. Yeah. Hacksaw has let people do that before.
So absolutely. I guess what you can go do is go through all your models and say, forfeit movement, do nothing, forfeit movement, do nothing. So your turn can take as long as it takes you to say that?
Yes, pretty much.
Yeah, see, if hardcore should really just be 7 minutes, no extension. If you don't win, you lose. That really tools everybody. I mean, you have awards like the Mage Hunter, and the idea is you want to get the fastest possible kill. You build your list for that format. I wasn't around for Mark I, but just the idea of that seems to me like exactly what a hardcore format should be.
And it's currently just kind of like a slightly tweaked steamroller.
Speaking of Mage Hunter, I feel like there's a really good story about Mage Hunter that Will and Billy have to tell.
All right, so if you guys listened to our last podcast, the one that came out the Thursday of Adepticon, Will and I had a challenge. We made a bet to see who could get a faster kill between Will and I. Will, how'd that end up?
Well, in round 3, I got a 10-minute and 21-second kill.
Against?
Against Felix playing Trolls.
Oh. Wow, getting a caster kill on Horde casters that early is...
Well, I mean, he casted a bunch of buffs, dumped down to one Fury, and then some Renegades shot him, and a Defender shot him, and he died. He failed the tough roll, too, which I would have been quite upset if he had passed. I'm like, oh, come on!
I think the fastest time before your 10-minute one I had was, like, 27 minutes.
It was huge. It was huge.
Oh, man, he was such a proud peacock, too. Will was strutting his stuff.
I was like, I got it. Yeah, Billy's going to screw it up. So Billy decided to lose the rest of the games for the day until he could get to somebody that would just give him a caster.
Yeah, so I played my first round and won it. And I won it after, 27, whatever, a lot of minutes. And then the second round, I played Jeremy. And I went for it with six, it was probably 20, early 20s. and left Severius with one box, and then he killed me.
Which is about to become a frequent theme here.
So, and I think the thing to note is, Billy is very proud of how fast he kills casters, and was talking non-stop smack to Will about how he was going to win this bet.
You know what?
Yeah.
Next hardcore, I'm going to go dirtle my first three rounds away, and then I'm going to beat Billy's record. That's
it.
My strategy.
Do it.
My
record, you can make the bet with him and blend his caster.
Now, game on. Now, my record, last year, this is a, so I got fastest caster kill. I did, after I lost to Jeremy, I continued to just go all in for the assassination as quick as I could just to try to beat Will's 10 minutes. And every time I came up short until the last round, I was 1-3. I played the nicest guy, a guy named Sean, and just a super, super nice guy. And I was just going for the kill, so I ran forward and fully camped. And then the next turn, Butcher had charged, got within, I think, 15 inches of Siege.
Oh, my God, way too close.
Yeah, so, I mean, I put two on a Hunter from Junior, two on a Defender, kept the rest, you know, just reload, Ranger, go. So Siege did it on the first shot. I rolled like a 17 for damage, and that was that. So 8-16 was the time I actually got the Mage Hunter award, and I blended Magnus's ass.
And whose idea was that?
So there's a guy named Tony that lives around here. We met him on Thursday night.
He actually writes for Muse.
Local guy. Yeah, yeah.
Is that pretty cool guy.
Yeah, T-Mage. He's got the Tony the Tiger logo, does all the math.
Yeah.
So shout out to you.
He, super cool guy. We actually played a pickup game. We played Bethane and Epic Kane. So we got to play a game on Thursday. Cool guy. And so while we're playing, I tell him about this bet that we have on Friday. And he's like, well, hey, why don't you get a blender or something? So Will and I walked to Target. We bought a blender. And this is before the challenge. And then I blended him.
You can blend a metal mini?
As we found out, it will blend.
It blends pretty well, too.
Yeah, we just put in, it's a couple hunks of metal and a little, like, half of a base and a bunch of paint and silver
stuff.
Chips, little granules.
We're going to put a video up on Mom because I actually took a video recording of it. So you guys should check out www.museonminis.com and come look at the video of E-Magnus getting blended to bits. It's actually pretty hilarious.
Now I have to get a new E-Magnus.
So not to get sidetracked, you and I were talking about a challenge. My fastest time last year here at Adepticon was 6:46. So, do you want to just have a bet like Will and I did? Who can get the fastest time?
Did I open? I opened my mouth and got myself in two bets tonight already. Really?
Yeah. All right. So, what was the first one?
The first one was whether or not I could beat Terminus.
Oh, $50. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So let's do this.
I'm not in the lock and load hardcore. Well, maybe I am. I don't remember if I signed up.
The next hardcore you both
play. If you are, we'll do another one.
We'll bring the blender.
So what's the bet?
It's what do you still want? Got Magnus.
Fastest caster
it's
kill.
For more.
It's over there.
You want to do dinner? You want to do... What do you want to do?
Blend another caster.
You want to blend... No. Oh, my God. I got to do a caster I don't care. Well...
No. You got to play your best caster. Your fastest caster.
To be fair, don't let Will talk you into that, because he definitely blended a caster he doesn't care about.
Yeah, you got
to
blend your fast, like Will's favorite caster, Magnus.
I didn't say your favorite. I said your fastest.
Do I have to play Menoth?
Maybe I said your favorite.
You can play whatever you want.
Whatever I want. All right, we're on.
Sounds like Lilith is good, whatever.
Yep. Sounds like Rias?
No, Lilith.
No, it's not going to be... What? No, it's not going to be Rias.
What if it's Jake's?
You got Lilith and Siege. Those are really... I mean, those are the two...
I might do E7.
10 minutes.
All right. E7, actually, E7 or Viros, both of those could work too.
I feel like you are discounting Michael Winner's fastest caster kill at Gen Con with Cray.
Jeremiah Cray could also get it done in a similar fashion. You just have to have someone that doesn't understand the threat range of the... Because, you know, I had... And when I played Sean, I'm going to feel bad. And I, Sean, awesome. Next time we're around each other, we will play again. He was like, can I CC just card? And so immediately I gave it to him. He said, how does the feet work exactly? So I knew right away, all right, I have a shot here. this is the one chance I have to not lose my caster to the blender.
Oh, it was so close.
Yeah.
I wanted it so bad.
And then we were at the end of the hall, like way away from the judges, so I had to yell caster kill as loud as I could because I didn't really know what the time was, which made it all the more, you know, deflating. I feel like an asshole now that I'm retelling the story.
Was Will, like, melting down somewhere else in the room when you were yelling?
Really, it's just Magnus, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna end up blending, like, one of my painted casters, which is terrible because I don't paint.
Sorry, dude.
I'm not.
You're in this now.
So what's the deal? Lock and load and hardcore if you're in hardcore.
Well, next hardcore we both plan. And probably it'll probably be lock and load. I think I'm signed up. I can't remember.
Don't take Yusefi.
Why?
You guys figure this out later.
People know his assassination.
You got to.
No, I'm gonna lose my first four rounds. I'm gonna lose every game.
He's gonna submarine the crap out of this.
I painted that. Might as well
take P. Krios then. Like, I've never heard of a pop and drop before.
That is literally the oldest trick in the book.
Yeah. No. East heavies is. You have no idea how much easier it is to get people with East heavy than it is with Krios. I get good players with East heavy on occasion.
Almost got one today.
Yeah, I did almost get somebody with. We'll get to that a little later.
All right, so hardcore. Or we talked about how it ended up. Talked about the
my caster got blended.
Yeah, so that was one thing about the Texas guys. We all played, other than me, who lost several rounds. All the other four guys that came with us, there were five of us total. The other four guys only lost to Texas guys until the finals when Eric killboxed himself to Jake.
So you scooped Eric into the finals?
No.
I'm just kidding. I'm just playing.
What?
I'm just playing.
Oh. Are you going to go all back mono on me over here? Call us scum that should slit our own throats for scooping people?
I will say this. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, Eric sort of beat himself. So really, all the Texas guys only lost to Texas guys.
That's true, actually. I will take that.
Oh, my gosh.
So day two. Keith soldiers it out, drives through in the middle of the morning.
Yep. We stay up till 3 in the morning talking about inane BS. Boy, that conversation was bad.
I don't even know what that is.
Inane BS?
Oh, it's inane right. BS.
We'll,
gotcha.
We'll tell you when you're older. So, day two, we started out. I think all of us wanted to win.
Yeah, we did. Because honestly, everybody here wants to make the War Machine Weekend Invitational, right? So that's the main reason to win it.
I wanted to get 8 conventions paid for.
Yeah, I wanted you happening. To get 8 conventions paid for.
You know what? I want you to get 8 conventions paid
for. I don't.
That Signar challenge is live and well.
I will destroy all of the Signar players myself.
So, all right. So, round one, Will, how'd it go?
Well, it didn't go so well. Well, it went really well until the end. I played against Jake round one. Diced the crap out of myself at the very last moment when I needed my dice the most. I needed to roll a 4 on 2 dice and rolled Snake Eyes to TK a Scythian out of the zone to win the game.
You can boost to a 4 if it wins you the game.
Well, I also needed to like TK a Gorax and then Primal it and Ghost and have it fuck up a Harrier.
So outside of the 4 to win the game, there was like...
Well, there was also rolls. A couple more 4s to kill a Harrier with 6 tries or something. Like, I was pretty confident about that one. But that was really the turning point when I missed the Scythian with the first TK on Snake Eyes.
So the rest of us win round 1.
Yep.
And then round 2, I play Jake.
Actually, I just want to say, my round 1, I got to play against the guy that won Executioner in the Hardcore with that E-Krios list.
He's a cool guy.
He was a very cool guy.
How'd that go?
He decided that he was going to play Peace Heavy versus East Heavy. And
Soon Peace Heavy got shot to death.
No, actually what happened, I was looking for it, but he wasn't giving it to me. He's pretty cagey. He's one of those guys that you can tell is a convert from 40K and was a pretty, I'm going to guess he was a pretty competitive 40K player because he does a lot of things right, except for play for scenario.
Sure.
And so I just won on scenario, and that's all that was. His experience, his name was Rick, I think, and I think he's going to be a really good player.
How many scenario points you get out of 3?
I got 4 out of 3 in that game. So,
second round, I play Jake, and it was Bethane, who I also played first round, so I sort of locked myself in, but it was 3 flags, and I just do not have an ability to play 3 flags with Lilith or Saren against Evail. Saren obviously can't play against Evail, and Lilith just can't hold the flags.
Why can you not play 3 flags with Saren?
Because he's got 2 Ravagors and 2 Angeli, and... 2 obliterations.
You just get shot to death.
You can get shot to death, but you can also just like score a ton of points with.
He has 2 Angeli too.
Yeah, I know. I just.
It would be terrible.
There's a lot of pushing going on.
Yeah. I think you could play that game. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I could play the E Lilith game too and just go for an assassination, but he just camps 4 Fury and.
I was honestly very surprised when I walked over and did not see you playing E Lilith, since last time you and Jake played E Lilith, it went in your favor, except for the old Van Meere.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Well, this I'm actually pretty glad because he didn't get in my head at all this game. Like he would, like as I'm playing, I'm learning, and as he'll do something, I'm like, hey, that's pretty cool. I'm gonna hold on to that. And then I don't know, Legionology. The lessons are good.
What? That is not a word.
Yeah, well, I'm trying. I'd like to be the other Legion guy at some point.
The other Legion guy.
Yeah, cause
the guy that's
clearly. It's like walking. He won here at Adepticon. He wins Hardcore. Wins Masters. Last year, won everything in sight. I mean,
he's clearly the best player in the game.
Yeah, it's how can you argue with results? I don't think
You can't. And then you can't even say that he crutches on any casters because he took three of them away that he won with last year. He's got three brand new casters, and he's still on a tear. And the only reason why he didn't win TempleCon, I'm convinced, is because he couldn't book a flight right.
Yeah. Well, so I lose to Jake second round. How did everybody else do?
I made it through rounds one and two on scenario victories. Round three, I got paired up against John, and the game was not looking great for me, what with the whole choir singing no shooting at me. It's not my favorite thing in the world when I and Holt are in a different list.
This is a pro tip for all you Menoth players. Don't be greedy. It's okay to say no shooting and just not get plus two, plus two.
Welcome to everyone else's faction.
Yeah.
It doesn't get plus two, plus two.
But eventually, Kane charged up and used his super sweet feat to remove all the support models in the world.
Yeah, that sucked.
And then I got to start playing the game a little bit, but I was so far behind that I just had to start looking for my opening to Fiora. And I tried it a couple different turns, and I got it to take on some long-ish odds.
Long-ish? We're going with long-ish?
Long-ish is how I'm going to classify that.
Seems pretty long to me.
So,
that's what she said.
He had four attacks. I'm going to go through the math for people so they can do it. Four attacks, right? You had to roll a 7 or an 8 on every attack. So number one, you shouldn't hit all four, but you did.
I put 6 shots into her.
No, you didn't. You put 4.
2 from Kane, 2 from Ryan, and 2 gun mages.
That adds up to 6 for anyone who's counting.
2 plus right. 2 plus 2 is 7.
That's where the chemistry master's degree
comes from. I don't want to talk about this anymore. Let's move on to another subject.
All right, so round 3.
He did roll a 17 on 3 dice.
Everybody else wins round 2, right? Will won.
Yep.
And everyone else wins. Okay, so round 3.
It was round 4 that I finally did hit Jake, and I just pissed myself and activated. And I activated, not literally, obviously.
Is that obvious? I don't know.
Perhaps not. I just activated my Carislone feat turn in exactly the wrong order. I probably could have done it worse, but it would have taken conscious effort.
So really, you diced me out, and then you pissed on your leg?
Yeah.
Thanks, Keith.
I started to fight back towards the end of the game. I'd killed all the heavies with Sloan. I was like a turn or two away from being able to try to kill Bethane. But she'd just saved her feet the whole game, and three of the Hex Hunters finally came close enough that they just blasted. Like, just Sloan just died.
Yeah, that's what I'm realizing about her feet, is if you can afford to save it until very late, it's just... I mean, you only need 4 or 5 Hex Hunters to really just really hurt something.
Yeah, Caster just dies. They're POW 13s. They hurt a lot.
It's legit.
I remember back in the day, they used to say, boosted POW 12s kill casters. That's so true. Boosted POW 13s seems even better.
Yeah, it's a 13-inch threat advancing. So yeah. You can get in their Pathfinder, and it's just, yeah.
And they have Hunter.
And then you back it up with 2 boosted Gallows, or, you know, boosted Eruption if you need to get around some stuff. She's legit. And Gators is really, I made a bunch of lists with her. I kept trying her in different ways, and then finally I added Gators to the list, and it's just... to like to flick the light switch.
Yeah, and I had the solution for them. I just I gave away Mr. Walls too early, so I lost my Pathfinder mini feet, so I had to Rupert them for Pathfinder, and then I wanted them to be tough, so I didn't give them their boosted attack rolls, and instead of killing a couple gators, I missed all the gators.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that was also bad.
I just like to say that I didn't lose to Jake all weekend.
Yeah, I can't say the same, but so round 4 was pretty interesting for the Renegades, too. Jeremy and I played one another. This was, for me, my 5th game against Renegades on the weekend. So 5 of 10 rounds were against Renegades, which was not ideal. Maybe it was 4. I think it was 5.
How far did you come to play against your friends?
Across the country? Just a couple thousand miles.
Across all the way across.
And a couple of plane flights. It's no big deal. I got to play at least 5 other guys that I hadn't played lately at my store. So Jeremy and I match up, and it was the silliest game ever because both of our casters, High Reclaimer and Epic Asphyxius, create clouds. So the whole middle of the board was an advertisement for brass rings. There was no less than 10 brass rings on the board
Then Eric wants to start making more clouds with the statistics.
Yeah, the statistics raiders were making clouds. Reclaimer was making clouds. Asphyxius was making clouds.
Not the raiders. The which one?
The blood witches.
Yeah.
Sure. So, Yeah, that was pretty good.
We had a guy to the left of us had like a bajillion rings, and we just took a bunch of them. There were just way too many brass rings on the.
And so we were playing down to the end, and it's a pretty tight game. Jeremy's a bit ahead on attrition, but I haven't feeded yet. And he's got his two clouds in front of the test, the high reclaimer. Feels very safe. I charge Asphyxius over. I can start placing my feet troops inside the clouds barely so that I can actually still charge him through the clouds. So I get four charges on him. Tartarus charges, hits, rolls a 7 on 4 dice for damage. So reclaimer has, what was it? Three boxes?
He's got like 18 boxes or something like that.
But I've done a few before, so he was down to two boxes at this point.
Yeah, that's right. He got Bile Thrall.
Slaughterborn misses. Bane Knight misses. And a Bane Knight misses. So he's still alive. So he gets his turn to try to kill Asphyxius with two focus sitting in the middle of his army.
With a... Yeah, had the Vanquisher and the High Reclaimer. I had about... like three souls or something like that. Basically, it was going to come down to a boosted Vanquisher shot, an Immolation shot, fully boosted, and I had a Enliven, or not Enliven, ancillary attack. There we go. And so I hit the Vanquisher, roll pretty decent, at least above an 11. Get him down. Immolation runs up. I run up Immolation, get him down. He's got 4 hitboxes. I got fire, dice minus 4, and I roll an 8.
Fire doesn't go out, kills me on the fire. And this is after he takes the corrosion point. So again...
I had 2 before the turn started.
Jeremy's caster lives with 1 box, and he advances to the finals.
Or that was the semifinals?
The semifinals.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Well done.
Indeed. It was...
very skillful.
It was actually when I rolled that 8, and I looked down, and I saw Gatsby's card, I immediately saw it was 4. That was a cool feeling. It was just way too unlikely for Eric should have won. Like, we were like just estimating like 98% chance. Let's go for it.
Yeah.
We were talking about is actually what saved me was I was able to take down the
Bane Thrall UA.
The Bane Thrall UA.
And when he says takedown, he means used takedown from Saxon Orc to remove him from play. So I couldn't bring him back on the feet.
So that was 2 attacks at mat 7. He rolled 2 7 or 2 5s, yeah. Hitting 6s. There's the 7s right there. So Saxon Orc won me that game.
That is so awesome.
Mr. 2 axes.
And I ran him like 3 turns in a row just setting that up. Either him or Slaughterborn he was going to take down.
Is that an epic Saxon Orc we have coming? I guess so.
I actually just painted him together. Just painted him really fast. I didn't care.
Standing on a Tartarus or Bane Thrall UA.
But I feel like Saxon Orc is the same size as the Bane Thrall UA. It just looked like they're riding on each other's shoulders or something.
We'll figure it out.
So how'd your last round go, or the semifinal round go?
The semifinals, this was a stressful tournament.
Well, the field was ridiculous.
The field was straight up ridiculous.
Like just walking in, it's like just everyone's just really, really good. And I
like 1 in 4 people was really good. Would you say?
Yeah, 40 people. 1 in 3, something like that.
Yeah, 1 in 3, maybe even. Which is not common at a con. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
I knew my luck today was just going to be overly stupid.
It was your day, right?
When the first game I played six games. Very first game, I'm playing Ephiora. I go first. Bonded Redeemer walks up, rolls a 1 on one on direction, 6 on distance, perfectly lands on Iris. And kills Iris. Like, yep, it's going to be one of those days.
That's a good start.
That's a good start to the day.
My opponent didn't even go yet, and I had killed Iris. And so I won that game. Went against 3 flag scenario. My opponent dropped an infantry caster. He dropped Kallus, had a bunch of infantry. I got a lot of practice playing 3 flags. At Asgard, we play 3 flags a lot as a practice.
It's like the de facto... Because you just set 3 tokens it's so easy. Yeah.
If you can't play 3 flag with a caster, you can't play that caster in a tournament. And I have a really good strategy with Harbinger and 3 flag. I mean, outside of just popping your feet and winning, it's just kind of like running up, making it seem. I always kind of go for a feint and then twist towards the side, and it worked out. And just 3 control points, and my opponent was fairly good, and just Harbinger's really good at that.
Harbinger's really good at 3 flag, you're right.
Yeah, so. third round, I go against a circle gentleman. I'm terrible with names. I apologize if I don't remember any of most of my opponents' names. I can remember your faces and things, but so I took High Reclaimer as my third caster, and I'm
so talk about what High Reclaimer's supposed to be bad.
I've heard people call him the worst caster in Minoth, like even worse than Amon, and Amon's terrible.
Definitely better than Amon.
So
here's the thing with High Reclaimer. He's built for this format because it's a three-list format, so you get to cherry-pick your matchups where he is... blocking line of sight is bonkers good in this game. It just is. Like, it allows you to completely dictate the pace of the game and what happens against certain armies. Like, certainly, you don't want to play against Legion, right? And there's other things that are certainly bad. But I think High Reclaimer in a three-list format actually has a legit place because you're asking a question. You're saying, can you beat me if you can't see my stuff? And if you can't answer that question, you lose.
Right, and between that and the combination of Death Clock works out. Not trying to clock my opponent, but because there's no tiebreakers, I don't have to worry about getting a lot of things into a control point just in case the tiebreakers come up. Like, I just have to play my game. He bricks really well. So you just brick, play your game, and block off line of sight. Yeah, he works really well.
In Death Clock. What was in your High Reclaimer list? People might be interested in that.
I ran him with this all started with a conversation between me and Will, which actually started a conversation between him and Flanzer about just trying to run Crusaders to take down hordes, and I think High Reclaimer could actually do that, and so I was running him with four heavies, and then just from there I just started tweaking it, so it ended up as two Reckoners, a Vanquisher. Was my battle group, and with him he runs a jack just as well as four jacks, and I was running him with three jacks. Just sack lamb is an amazing spell, and he gets all the souls.
What units do you take?
I was taking two units. I have bastions. His bastions are ideal for his feet.
Full units of bastions.
Just one full unit of bastions, and it's
turns out bringing back full health bastions is some good.
Yeah, they're already one of the hardest units to kill.
And when Jeremy and I played, the thing he did that was really smart is he kept one bastion in the back behind High Reclaimer. That way the first four go out and fight, you kill all the other four, and then when he feats, he makes sure he can bring back four because you didn't get rid of the unit.
Yeah, like if you kill that last bastion, you just miss a chance to kill High Reclaimer. So I always make sure I have that feat. And then I was trying Zealots, I tried Idrians, but the actual unit I found that worked best for him were the Errants. I mean, Errants are obviously good, but with the scornergy between self-sack and not getting a soul, you kind of don't want to take that. But because people love the jam, you throw clouds out, best strategy is you go and try to jam them real fast. And between quick work, because of quick work, it just works out really well. So
yeah, Errants dig deep because, you know, and this is sort of basic strategy, right? What happens is when armies collide, there's a... you know, the skirmish line where you hit, and then that's really the only models that can die to melee, right, is just in the line where you hit. So if you spread your models outright, and you see good players do this all the time, they sort of create this line that you can't get past. You have to kind of kill those four models. Well, Errants kill those four, and then the four guys behind them if you roll well on dice or whatever. So they dig really well. And they also have bows, so they're just really good for clearing a jam.
Yeah, and I threw a Nicaea in that list. She's becoming one of my favorite models. Just because you get jammed, she runs up, kills a couple things, sprints out of melee, and you have this clear path. That's about it. The Reckoner, Vanquisher, Errants, Bastions, and it worked out really well. I was really afraid to play it. Like, it's been my one of my best lists, and I tried all the Minoth casters trying to come up with a third list, and he was towards the end, and it's. Just worked out really well.
Well, my fourth round, I played Hollywood. And I was actually the pair down. So it was Hollywood and Jeremy and...
So you had the opportunity to end it early?
Yeah, actually there were five, I think, at round four. Yeah, so...
Yeah.
Who were you playing?
Me? In the fourth round?
John?
No. This guy.
I played Eric.
Yeah, that was
me. Oh, yeah.
No, fifth round I played
Eric. So, yeah, during that game, I'm a couple tables down playing Hollywood, and he's got Venithrax or Denegra twice. So if he plays Venithrax, he's going to be locked into Denegra. But I knew that I had Lilith and Saren available, so I knew that he couldn't play Denegra, so it was Camphithrax. So I played Saren, and the idea was I have two angels, and I thought, well, if I do this right, they've got, I'm sitting at a 14-inch threat range with Slipstream, so if I can get four thrusts on him, I can win. And then I thought, nah, there's no way I'm going to get four. If I get three, average dice should still win me the game, assuming he's not camping like crazy, and I manage the souls. And it worked. I got three thrusts and just didn't do it. A plus two fully boosted Hellfires. Funny thing is, I walked Saren into base-to-base with Venithrax to Hellfire him and Breathstealer him so that I could do the last two thrusts. And I had one. I left myself with one transfer. And then I don't kill him. I leave him with five boxes or so. And I pass turn. And I'm like, all right, let the annihilation begin. Go ahead, cut her in half. And so he starts active. He comes in with some Satixis, comes in with Gerlach, comes in with Darog, and then starts activating Malice back in the back where my Scythian is and kills him. So I pull the two Fury that were on him. Now I have three transfers. So he's like, oh, what was I doing? I was just trying to, just in case it didn't work out. So anyway, Hollywood was great. It was actually awesome that he ended up winning. It was awesome that he did because he won on the last dice roll, needed a nine to hit on two dice, hit, and then just
you feel like he had you anyway, right?
So I moved up and said, all right, this is my shot. The game, the whole plan was if I get three thrusts, I've done what I can. And he was like armor 26 at the time. So what are you going to do?
You apply Avatar to the face. That's what I do.
One cool liberally thing that he did that I really liked is I knew Darog was a command 9. So I was like, all right, I got 9 inches. So I had the second Angelus come in, and I checked control on Saren, and I said, all right, this is exactly where I need to be. I can inch up a little bit, and I'll be good. And Madeline Corbeau was behind him in base-to-base. And I know that she increases command, but just didn't think about it. So his command became 10 because he was in
base. Oh, that's kind of hacks, yeah.
Yeah, it was just cool. It was a sweet little, like, gotcha. I was like, ah.
I've done that with the book before to get that no spells on people.
Yeah, so command he would have been down to 3. But had that been the difference of the game, it would have been crazy.
Doc, Bosun, and Corbeau is a good threesome.
They like to hang out together.
Whoa.
Riding dirty. Nice.
Whoa.
So I guess at the end of round 4, it was Jeremy, Jake, and
Hollywood.
And Hollywood, right?
Yep, so we're the undefeated. So Jake and Hollywood play, and we'll let them talk about that game some other time. And of course, Jake won. And Jeremy, I got paired up. And everybody's like, all right, like I feel like I had a cheering section because people wanted this thing to end, right? It is the end of the day. And they're like, if I beat Jeremy, the day ends.
Everyone hated me at this point.
I didn't hate you.
Texas was behind you, man. Don't worry about
it. Yeah, babe.
I was rooting for you, sort of.
I got to play Keith this round.
Why don't you guys go through your game really quick? Because it was really quick.
It was really quick. So Ikaruru walked up and then Keith lost.
Right next to our game.
Well, no, it was I sat down and Will said, what do you have for lists? And I said, I'm locked into this one. And he said, oh, I win. Yes, you do.
It was a tactical masterwork on both sides. Great thought, deep insights. It was just really thing beauty.
Really was just Stormwall.
Well, it's an issue for this format is if you get locked into a list, you can get a legit no chance to win matchup, which is what you guys demonstrated.
Which actually kind of... amazing that both me and Jake, I think Jake really loves Evo, right?
Yep.
Like we both had like our best caster.
That's great because that's unusual in a format like this when you're locked in your last list.
Yeah, so. And with this format, it's really damaging because you're going to be locked into your lists as you play better and better people. So it's more likely that if you come with an uneven matchup, it's going to be against someone who's quite good. You're going to have an unfavorable matchup and just get spanked. And it's going to be really, you know, detrimental to the tournament.
Yeah, the problem I had was I had my three different lists, and I felt they covered a fair variety of my matchups, but I kept getting the same thing over and over again. It was just like Legion with a ton of shooting stuff, Hordes with a ton of shooting stuff, Manoth with a ton of shooting stuff, more Legion with a ton of shooting stuff, and then Circle.
Yeah, because P. Haley wants to see a melee list, right?
Yeah.
And so he didn't get a chance to play Pihaly all day because he never saw Crix, you know, never saw those unbalanced lists. So I'm just going to take a second to not complain, but to point out that my second round I got to play Jason Watt. My third round I got to play Keith. My fourth round I got to play Chuck. Right? And my fifth round I got to play the guy that got second.
That's me.
Yeah, and that's Jeremy. That's a bit of a murderer's row. I earned my stripes today.
Yeah, every single you. It wasn't 1-3 for you. I mean, it was 5-5.
Yeah.
All right.
So it was a bit of a rough day. I got to pay Jason back for TempleCon because he got me in the team tournament, and that I'm not gonna lie, I enjoyed that game a lot.
So I know 5 of Jake's 6 was Keith, me, Will, Jeremy, and Hollywood.
Yeah.
I don't know who the sixth was.
Right, so he definitely had a rough day, too.
Yeah, he earned it.
He did. He absolutely earned it.
Yeah. I did hear him after round 3 or 4, after seeing his matchup going, or his matchup going, man, I cannot dodge a pairing.
But Jeremy and I had a game in the fifth round.
Yeah, it worked out pretty good. You never had a chance to kill my caster. I was running pretty well.
Yeah.
That wasn't it.
No, I took a little bit of a longer odds. I mean, I don't think it was bad.
That's kinda, it was probably...
50-50?
Around 50-50, I bet. Yeah,
50-50 shot to kill Fiora.
This was John just not feeling too great, wanting to end it right now.
No, I'll be honest. I have no business being in a game against E Fiora. Like, if you're playing Protector and Unprotectorate, and one of them has E Fiora and you don't, it's really hard to win. She is so hard on other Protectorate players, and I'm usually on the other side of that just giving it to somebody. So I know exactly what's coming. I'm like, oh my god. His jacks are all faster. They hit harder. I'm straight screwed. And I can't shoot her with my... I can't threaten her because I can't shoot her with my Reckoner. I can't shoot her with my Vanquisher. I mean, it just straight sucks. Sucks bad. Not that I had a Vanquisher on my list. But, you know what I mean. Like, Fiora just really dominates. Bad. Yeah, so I'm like, I'm going for the assassination because I don't think I can beat him on attrition.
Yeah, he was able to get... the Arc Node within the Blessing of Vengeance within 8 of Fiora.
Yep.
And Charlotte Hexblast needs an 8, which is okay.
I boosted hit.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you should hit that most of the time. And then I think you got 10 points, so you rolled a 12.
Yep.
And then,
so you're at 6.
I was at 6.
And then I admonished, or actually I shot you with his gun. I should have shot the guy right next to you and admonished and boost the damage, and you'd have died.
John forgot that shot was fire.
I did.
It was actually funny because you know that the admonisher was fire.
Not fire.
Not fire?
Yeah.
Like for me, it was the opposite. For the longest of time, I was playing like my Vessel of Judgment as fire because I just always thought it was fire because of East Severius.
Yeah. So I did exactly opposite. I've been playing the Vessel a lot lately. So I just thought, oh, no, his gun's not fire. So I shot her. He's like, yeah, that's fire type damage. And I'm like, fudge. So that was a mistake on my part. And then
so he gets the one redeemer. This is the problem. Like for me, like even as a Protectorate player, I just don't see that redeemer as a threat. And I think the only person that does is John.
I kill casters all the time with that thing. I'm not gonna lie.
He's got 2 focus. He walks up, shoots, needs a 12 to hit.
Rolled my 12.
Rolled your 12, and then you needed a 9.
A 9 on 3 dice, and that'd have been all she wrote.
Yeah, and then didn't get it.
I rolled a 6, and then I left you at 3, and I took Fiora straight out of the game, though, so that was worth it.
Fiora cheesed it right then.
He's like, I'm going to exit stage left. And so then we played attrition, the other problem with playing against Fiora is it takes a lot of time to chew through her army, because she plays a lot of heavies, she does a lot of enliven, her stuff's fast, and so I felt like I actually was doing pretty well in attrition in that game.
Yeah, it was rough, because I never had an opportunity to cast the... Escort again.
Yeah, because you got hit with that Hex Blast.
Yeah. It was a choice between casting Hex Blast and moving and maybe being within threat range of the Redeemer. So eventually he's like, screw this, run.
Yep.
I will say this. Jeremy is, out of all of the players that I've had an opportunity to really observe and how they play and style, Jeremy's the most conservative player that I've really seen play.
Almost like, to a fault.
Like, no risks, like, just very back, like, I don't know. Like, if most people will play their caster, like, right on that edge, you know, because they want to keep that offense. Jeremy's just like, just an extra 3 inches back won't hurt.
Yeah, I'm pretty conservative too. It's sort of a Menoth playstyle thing.
Like,
yeah.
I learned casters are one sack of shit.
Yeah, I learned this game pretty much with playing Piece of Arius. Huh? You play like all casters like Piece of Arius after a while.
They die to a stiff breeze.
Yeah.
So you play Fiora and you're like, I'm pretty tough. I've definitely gotten Fiora killed because I thought I was tough shit, and it turns out not so much. But
so that was round five.
Yep.
Yeah, and John's like, you know what, Jeremy, I know you're. You feel really good, you know, like, I'm going to try to kill you, and almost does it. So eventually, you know, that messes up.
Yeah, no,
I said I might be able to get you right here.
His face said that. He didn't say it, but his face is like, all right, Dream Crusher time.
Well, you have to understand, I have a tendency to do this. I might have been talking some shit before we even got paired up. I was like, DC, you need to pair me up so we can shorten this thing. Pair me up. I want an undefeated. Give me Jake. That's who I wanted. I want to play Jake. And, so I got to play you again, and I got to play against DeFiora. But
before the round, I did hear you say, all right, we're going to determine who's the best Menoth player.
Yep, and
you
clearly...
You say that right.
Jeremy so clearly is...
concede the title.
Absolutely. I've never claimed to be a great Menoth player.
I'm not the best. I'm better Menoth player because reading like your Enliven articles, and then you got Matt... Exceptionally good Menoth player. Yeah.
Dice God's really good. There's a lot of good Menoth players out there. There's a guy out on the West Coast. Anyway, we don't need to get into like sucking cock.
About the last round a little bit then.
Yeah,
I'm not going to talk about that. All right.
Well, I'll give you some props here. That was I've watched you play a lot of games, and it was composed, and every move was the right one. And there was this moment where Avatar was, was beat up, but you could have either just gone in there and tried to kill something. And you just ran back to the mechanics. And I was like, all right.
Jake got the Avatar down to about like 7 boxes. And he had movement and right arm. And so I had this... Yeah, he was in the zone. We're playing the radial deployment.
Sacrifice
where you have on the big circle and the flag that blows you up. And so like he shoots... I got greedy. I shouldn't get greedy against you don't do +2 attack and damage against Legion, and I got that one turn of being extra greedy and I do +2 attack and damage, and my avatar gets blown up by Ravagors that turn, and so the avatar ends up having like 6 boxes left, and so I have to make a decision, like, do I run him in there, try to kill a beast, or do I get back? And so I end up moving it around, running the avatar back, getting my vessel a judgment in the middle of the zone or close to the zone, and so I had both my mechanics working on the avatar in the next 3 turns, and from like 6 points left, I got him brand spanking new, 0 points, and so I was like, all right, cool.
So he got to kill the avatar twice.
Yeah, he basically killed the avatar twice.
That guy is a Jedi.
Yeah, and like I ended up what ended up having like. I charged his Scythian, which I thought was hurt more, but I forgot. Yeah, like, while I was healing up that avatar, he was healing up that thing. And I didn't kill. I think I left him with 2 boxes left, which I'm not going to complain because, like, turn 2, he thrust the avatar and rolled 3-on-3 dices, like 1-1-1 on the thrust.
Ouch. So, ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, the first thrust of the game, the Angelius flies over there, all 1s on the boosted to hit. He goes... I needed a 4.
Yeah, so
couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Yeah. So luck's evening out
happened
there.
Happened to me in round 1 against Jake.
It did happen to a nicer guy. My bad. Moving on.
So like, what ended up hurting the most was, like, I'm a pretty short guy. My line of sight towards the avatar was the way the position of the. Of a Ravagor's arm was just completely blocking my back arc from my line of sight vision. And so I activate the avatar and I start swinging. I kill the Ravagor, the Scythian. I'm ready to start wailing into the Ravagor. And Jake's like, what about his arcs? I think his arc's out. And like I kind of like stand up a little bit on my chair, look. I'm like, oh, crap. And so it's just barely out. I just needed to shift him a little bit. And, like, I mean, it's
I would have noticed. It's just the weirdest.
He actually called you on that?
Yeah, just the weirdest.
That must
angle.
Have been a tight game. That's an unusual thing.
It was at that point. If it didn't, I mean, the game could have gone the other direction if that didn't.
Because I had about 4 minutes up on him because the game ended with he had about 2 minutes left and I had like a little over 6 minutes, and it was just. That big ass hand of the Ravagor was like blocking off my back arc.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't see it.
So, what we've decided is that Jeremy from now on is going to play with a short step stool at all times so he can just survey the battlefield from a
no
height.
You need those stilt things that you attach to your feet.
Yeah.
Pogo stilts.
Yeah, yeah.
Even cooler.
See, the biggest problem, though, with being a tall guy when you play is that you have to bend over so much to move your models. There was times in the tournament where I was like holding myself up with my arms, going like, okay. My back is killing me.
Back and knee problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, but all in all, I was very pleased with how I played after barely surviving the last two rounds against John and Eric. You know, I had 4 hit points left on those wins.
Total.
Total, yeah.
Well, my assassination wasn't super legit, so I wouldn't feel bad about that. And you played really well. It was a good game.
Yeah, actually came into the finals, played really well. I mean, outside, I think the luck was a little bit towards my side, a little bit.
Well, like we said,
I started off really hot with my dice, and then
it was your day. You're not complaining, but your Redeemer was laser sighted today.
Those last 3 fire rolls against that Ravagor in the
I think it was like 10, 10, 12.
10, 12. It just got better and better.
Nice.
All right, so that's Adepticon.
Yeah.
But we got the team tournament tomorrow, which is going to be silly.
Not for me. I gotta leave in 3.5 hours for Iowa.
What? Why?
It's my son's Pinewood Derby.
Oh, yeah.
And nice. So I'm not missing that. But
definitely not.
That and I run the computer equipment that runs the track, so if I'm not there, like, I will be castrated.
There will be no Pinewood Derby.
There will be no Pinewood Derby. There will be no Fat Asian.
All right.
So if we debut the gentleman's wager on any Road to War podcast, should we go into that now, or is it?
Oh, that's already happened. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. We talk about it a little.
So the gentleman's wager for this weekend is currently tied between Will and Jeremy at 9 points apiece.
I'm one beer up on him.
He's got a third of a point. He's
also, teammates tomorrow, so no matter what their record is, they will gain no points from that record. So it's all going to come down to drinks drunk while playing the team tournament tomorrow. So fully expect to see Jeremy and Will sloppy drunk tomorrow afternoon.
It's going
to
be
racing each other for the dollar.
I didn't even know about that. This is excellent.
Yeah.
All right, so you guys are scorekeeping, and you can't both sign it. I don't want us to leave and get on the plane.
No. We decided that if there's a tie, when we get back to the store, we have to play best out of 27 rock, paper, scissors.
Which is how gentlemen have always decided these bets.
Always. 27.
Best out of 27?
Best out of 27.
All right, you got to wait till Thursday night so we're all
That's
there.
Fine.
No. I have a challenge. You should step it up. You should play best out of 28 so that if you tie, you have to do it again.
I actually like that.
Best out of 28
coming from the guy who wanted to mash up 7 times for all bed positions.
I don't even want to talk about mashup for at least a week. Speaking of updates, we should do a little bit of crutch-free update.
Oh, yeah. We definitely have some people to throw under the bus.
All right. Well, next episode on that one. I'm going to get to bed.
Well, hold on. Okay, well, the one thing that we do need to update on, Mayhem Cup is coming up.
Yep, Mayhem Cup is coming up on May 12th. We have, I think, 74, 75, 80 sign-ups, something like that. I need to check. I haven't checked it for a couple days.
Can you hold all those people?
Yep.
You can? So if I still go...
You got to apply. Look, if anybody wants to show up, I have a spot for you. I'm going to probably put something up this week. I'm changing the format a little bit. We're still going to do the 50-pointer just like we are doing, but I'm going to run 2 35-point tournaments on Sunday to break that huge mass of people up a little bit. So we'll do
how do you get 80 people on a tournament that you just
gonna have more players than anywhere here at Adepticon, I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's true.
Speaking of cons, we should take this opportunity to pimp War Games Con. We are running a con in Austin. The Bell of Lost Souls crew for the last couple of years has run a really huge 40K event. This year they want to have a full-on privateer press convention with a hardcore and a steamroller. We're gonna have a traditional masters format. And, the Texas guys are going to run it. We are doing an old-school Mark I hardcore. 7-minute turns, no extensions. If the caster's not dead at the end of the game, you both lose. So bring your speediest list.
It's awesome.
Be ready to kill some casters.
Yeah, June 21st through 21st through 24th, I believe.
Sounds correct.
Yeah.
That weekend. Yeah, it's the old school hardcore we were talking about. The same one that's going to be at the War Machine weekend. And there's another event. There's a three list steamroller. It's sort of an open masters event.
No, we have a closed masters.
We have a closed masters. We're running a tier tournament overnight. We're running
steamroller.
We're running a three list 4 round steamroller.
The hardcore as well as I think a tier tournament.
We're running a tier tournament. So there's going to be four tournaments. They'll all qualify the top four. We'll have a 16 player masters field for Sunday.
Anybody who doesn't make masters can play in a Flanks for the Memories on Sunday.
Yeah, go to wargamescon.com. Check it out. See if it's something that's interesting to you. Austin is a really cool city. If you haven't been to Austin, you live nearby, you should definitely check it out. Lots of cool stuff to do once the tournament shuts down. If you just want to go out on 6th Street and have a good time, it's a really cool place to hang out as well.
And delicious tortillas tacos.
I think part of the reason why the Mayhem Cup is so popular is it might be the fact that we probably will have $2,000 in gift cards to give out the next Mayhem Cup. Like, people straight up, and we spread the wealth. We give a ton of raffle prizes, painting prizes, tournament winners. Like, it's a lot of fun.
I know we have a whole lot of prize support, too. I don't know. To me, I won this $25 gift card for Fast Cash Kill. I just don't care about prizes.
I'll take it.
You're in a different financial situation than most gamers.
Really?
There's a lot of gamers out there that...
You know what I want to do with this $25? I want to find Sean, and I want to give it to him.
I feel like we should ship it over to Jeremy. That way he can get the $100 back. Because Jake agreed, because of the our game, Jake was offered to split his gift card with me. I said, no, absolutely not. But Jeremy won $50. So we traded with Jake. So Jeremy's got 75 now. So he's almost to a bag. So give him your 25. He'll get like a proper bag. You won't have to carry stuff around in a fucking toolbox anymore.
That toolbox is clutch.
It is pretty clutch. All right. Well, is that it? Do we have anything else to add? I'll let you guys sign us off.
All right, it's been a lovely evening here at Adepticon. We're on the 17th floor of the hotel here at Chicago. Have a nice evening. This is Keith.
Fat Asian.
Jeremy.
Eric.
I'm going to bed.
And Billy. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
All right, so we're going to bring both
these guys. Am I in this?
All right with you?
What's up?
Yeah, baby.
Let them share a mic.
Sure. Just make sure you guys talk into the mic. Fair enough?
Sure.
Is it like fine right here?
You got to work the chat. That
sound. You need a little closer.
Yeah,
that's how we do it. That's how Nick does it. Is he just constantly watches that bar.
Hey, John, how about my lap?
He just pause, and then we'll go back, replay.
Right now, John? Am I fine?
I think it should be all right.
Is it good? Are you sure?
Do you like it? Does it feel good?
Yeah,
I could get a little closer and deeper.
Yeah, just keeps happening. People keep joking off each other.
Yeah, we can joke all night after we get this done.
Yeah, we need to act like we're working. Like, let's work to produce something. And then we'll
talk around. Really?
Yeah.
I own a game store. My work is fucking around.
He's just managing. Billy's managing. He's trying to manage everybody right now.
Take a deep breath, Billy. It's fine.
Breathe in.
Really good when I'm sitting over there. I don't know if you
breathe out.
Alright.
We'll just leave all that for Nick's gonna edit this.
Yeah.
What a lucky sack. Alright.